Hello and welcome to Exploring Digital Spheres, a podcast produced by the Humboldt Institute for Internet and Society. My name is Wouter Bernhardt, and that sound you just heard is a sorting algorithm, a computer program that is trying to organize a whole bunch of data. Here's another one for you. Algorithms make up a huge chunk of our daily digital experience. Whether you're filling out an online form, or posting a photo on Instagram, or maybe clicking on the next recommended video on YouTube, algorithms are deeply rooted within all of these processes. But even though algorithms are at the heart of everyday computation, more recently, they have gotten quite a bit of a bad reputation. Algorithms are supposedly manipulating our online behavior, and apparently do so without the adult supervision of our leading computer scientists. So today, we're taking down this rhythm of algo. How do they work? What do we need them for? And should we be scared of algorithms taking control of our everyday lives? I'll be discussing these themes with Björn Scheuermann, a research director at the Humboldt Institute.
Machine learning and what we call artificial intelligence is nothing but statistics.
Björn has a background in computer science and mathematics and is also managing director of the Department of Computer Science at the Humboldt University. Being able to code from an early age, Björn often takes the perspective of an engineer rather than a scientist and learned how networks and other digital technologies interact with humans and society.
Yeah, I'm a computer scientist. I studied maths and computer science and a tiny bit of physics and a bit of business administration, more involuntarily. Then I did my PhD in computer science and worked on computer networks and IT security and more recently on computer engineering, so how to build computers. But what always interested me is how this technology interacts with humans and with society, and talking to colleagues from other disciplines about this type of question brought me to Higg, and more recently also brought me into the position of one of the research directors at Higg. And still in my research, I'm mostly interested in the tech aspects of computer science. So I still build computers, I still build computer networks, and I still work on IT security, for instance, on algorithms that provably technically guarantee a certain level of privacy for its users in different contexts. For instance, in one project where you're working with medical data, doing computations on data from hospitals and doctors and health insurers, etc. And doing these computations in a way that doesn't reveal the data to other players. So one hospital doesn't see what is in the patient files of another hospital, etc. But still, we can do medical statistics across many different data sources. So that's one of the topics I'm interested in my own research these days.
You were from an early age interested in coding. You were interested in, basically writing computer language and let a computer do a certain task. Maybe on a very basic level, could you describe to me what coding actually is and how an algorithm works in terms of giving a computer a task?
Yeah, essentially, a computer is a machine which can do any computation task. And any computation task gives you a huge field of what you can do, obviously, any computing task. So you have to tell the computer what exactly to compute. And if we leave away all the computer language and all the technology behind it, then it essentially boils down to something like maybe a baking recipe. A baking recipe tells you what to do. And a baking recipe, therefore, is a good example of an algorithm in one sense, because you get a sequence of steps and you follow these steps, and then hopefully with a bit of luck, you get the result that you intend. So it's like performing a computation in a very wide sense, and the recipe tells you how to do it. It's not a good example because recipes often leave certain aspects open. You still need some experience to do it right. If you are extremely picky, then often the formulations in a recipe are not perfectly unambiguous, in the sense that if you really want to get it wrong, then you can do awful things and still, in a sense, stick to the recipe. But if you consequently think this to an end and you try to write down the recipe in an absolutely unambiguous way, then you're pretty close to an algorithm. If there's really only one possible interpretation of what to do, so that even a totally dumb machine, which has no idea what it's doing, will always do exactly what you intended, given that you correctly wrote down what you intended.
Now, I can vaguely remember when I had maths, and I wasn't great at maths, but I can remember that we talked about algorithms logically in math class. We had an understanding of what an algorithm was, but actually only recently have I seen this term coming back in the public domain again. And I've started to realize or encounter it and start to think, what is this actually? People are talking about, oh, the algorithms, they decide what we see on the internet and what kind of advertisement we see and what kind of movies you click on in YouTube. I found it very interesting that a lot of people describe the algorithms, I heard, in a sort of a negative way. They say the algorithms, they are the thing that manipulate us, that do something to us. Do we actually know what these algorithms actually do on the internet? For example, when I am on YouTube and I see all these clips recommended to me, is there anybody out there that knows why this particular algorithm is showing me these things?
In one sense, yes. In another sense, often no. The thing that is hard to grasp for many people about this, who are not used to thinking in terms of algorithms for a long time, is this is all just computations, but very complex computations, which take a lot of data as their input. So to break this down to something probably you and many other people will remember from school, if you have a triangle and you know the length of two of its sides, and you know the angle between these two sides, then you can, even if you don't exactly remember how, you can compute the length of the third side of the triangle. So there's a formula for this. And such a formula is like the most basic form of an algorithm, because you know what the input is, the length of two sides, and the angle between these. And then you know which sequence of steps you need to take to come up with the result that you intend. And now the very same concept with much more complicated computations is what is behind an algorithm, and also what is behind an algorithm in the field of artificial intelligence. Just that the input is not just the two lengths and the angle, but a huge pile of data, for instance, collected by YouTube users. So the input to these computations could be, what have millions and millions of YouTube users watched over the last few months? And then in this data, you have information like people who clicked this video have also spent quite some time watching that video. This information in this data is obviously intuitively there. So if you are watching the same video as many other people, then you might also be interested in the same videos these other people have found in this huge pile of video material on YouTube before. And then there's the question, how can you dig this out? So what steps of computation do you need to do if you have all this information in the background as input, plus the input what you have watched recently, And then as the output, not having the length of the third side of a triangle, but as the output having a list of numbers of videos on YouTube that might correlate with what you are interested in.
So the algorithm is a sequence of steps in order to solve a problem. In that sense, an algorithm is not that hard to understand, though with the introduction of terms like artificial intelligence and machine learning, things get a slightly bit more complicated. Listen to Björn explaining how a computer program is capable of correctly identifying a picture of an animal without ever having seen that picture before.
You said it already once or twice. Could you maybe once more give me a sort of terminology about what machine learning actually is?
So machine learning is, coming back to what I said before, a clever way of doing statistics. You have an algorithm which takes input data, and in many cases this means you have labeled input data, as it's called in computer science. So for instance, you have pictures and they are labeled with which type of animal do you see on that picture, and then you put this as input data into the algorithm, and the algorithm does lots of complicated computations and lots of statistics, and but in clearly understandable steps where it's not wouldn't even take long, at least among computer scientists, to explain to someone else what exactly which type of computations are done, so what the computer does, and what comes out is a so-called model, and that model represents, again, just in specifically structured data, what statistical interrelations between the pixels, so the colored points in the in the images, and the classification result, that is the label, which animal is it, have been discovered.
Which in essence is kind of the same as how a human would learn the difference between, say, cats and dogs.
Looking at thousands of pictures of different animals during their youth, learning this is a dog and this is a cat and this is a rabbit and this is a duck, etc. Then probably if you have all these pictures used for learning on the wall, and you have the next picture, and the task is to find out what animal is on this picture based on what you have learned from all the pictures on the wall, probably a human would be able to stand in front of the wall and say, yeah, it looks like this picture. And our abilities to construct machine learning algorithms which are able to do the same thing is still very limited. So there are some steps in this direction, but it makes the algorithm more complicated, because you want not only the result, but in addition to the result, you want that explanation. The key novelty here is, in a sense, just the scale of the computation. So the first algorithms in computer science, where computer science is coming from, they were quite simple. And they were dealing with, due to the capacity of early computers, also quite limited amounts of data, at least limited with today's from today's viewpoint. And today we have amounts of data and computation speeds which lead to results that no human could possibly reproduce with a sheet of paper and a pencil, not even given an entire lifetime or the remaining time of the existence of this universe. And that results in it being hard to understand why this result comes out, because we have no other way of obtaining this result than running the algorithm on a computer.
And if you take that one step further, what could be the problem with that? The difficulty of checking where a certain result comes from? Like, if we can't really check anymore how a certain result comes out, then how do we rely upon that information?
Yeah, of course, we humans want explanations, and we want that finger pointing to a specific single reason. But in a way, since it's all computations on huge piles of data, machine learning and what we call artificial intelligence is nothing but statistics. It's a sophisticated and, in terms of its methods, sometimes novel way of doing statistics. So we have this data, we see patterns in that data, and we draw, in a wide sense, conclusions from these patterns. Essentially, there's this person, going back to your YouTube example, watching the following 5 videos on YouTube, and then statistics in a wide sense tell us that people who have watched these videos were also happy with these other videos. Maybe happy just in the sense that they didn't stop them right after they started. And then computing the result that these are the other videos to be recommended is just a matter of actually not so complicated statistics. And recognizing which type of animal you see on a picture through machine learning is also just a very sophisticated way of doing statistics. And this super sophisticated way of doing statistics builds on so much input data and tangles them together in so long and so many computation steps that simply in this pile of input data, you can't pinpoint the one single data item that led to the outcome. And that's what bothers humans.
You clearly having an oversight of what computing is, algorithms, studying this topic for quite a long time, being the director of the institute, you clearly have less of an issue of sort of trusting these algorithms and the computing. Whereas you said, humans in general have an issue not understanding precisely where this specific result comes from. Do you see it as one of the main tasks in trying to convince people to do trust the computers a bit more?
I fully trust the computers, which does not mean that I always trust the outcome of machine learning-based classification algorithm, because the outcome depends on the model, and the model depends on the input data used for training the model, for learning, so for extracting these statistical interrelations. So if you have an input data set where each dog on one of these images is labeled as a pig, then it will learn the wrong things. If you have an input data set where you have thousands of pictures of dogs and thousands of pictures of cats and only one single picture of a rabbit, then the algorithm will likely not be particularly good at recognizing other rabbit pictures correctly, because so in human terms we would say it doesn't have enough experience with that, but in more technical terms it's just it doesn't have enough input to really discover what the statistical features are that should be present in an image to make it plausible that it should be labeled a rabbit. So I fully trust that the computations done by the algorithm apply the statistical model correctly, and that the computations performed by the learning algorithm, which builds that model from the sample input data, does its job perfectly right. Oh, 100% trust in that. But that doesn't mean that I fully trust all the conclusions drawn from that statistical model.
Maybe as a last question, sort of a more meta level, to do research into all of this. When you see your own research and you see people doing research here at the Hague, what are the challenges that people have researching algorithms and in relation to maybe artificial intelligence? Where do you see the research going, and what do you see as the hurdles for this particular type of research?
I think the main hurdle is that getting an intuitive understanding of what is technologically going on is still very hard if you're not deep on the techie side. So I think computer scientists need to try much harder to explain what exactly they are doing in simple terms. And I think has been for a long time and still is the key challenge in that regard. And after all, that's what we're doing here at Higg.
That was Björn Scheuermann explaining the essence of the algorithm. To find out more about his research or, for example, see which events the Higg is organizing, check out hiig.de. In the next Outside episode, Higg researcher Thomas Bechle is talking to Nick Caldery, professor at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Among other things, they will talk about Caldery's concept of data colonialism.
When Facebook moves into Africa and tries to offer a stripped-down form of the internet called Facebook Free Basics to 23 African countries, that is a neo-colonial move.
This was Exploring Digital Spheres.